Thank you, Matt. Thank you all for being here. Yes, I am going to talk about water. And what we've attempted to do is derive the water balance at each of the 18 LTAR sites. I'm going to talk about why, what we've done, and what we've shown. So this is a map you've seen before. I put the names of all the people that have given data for those water balance. All the 18 sites have participated. The objectives were to close the water balance at each site of the LTAR, quantify the variability of each component of the water budget across the network, and determine the uncertainty with which the water budget could be closed at each site. And the idea behind that was to identify the components that were the most uncertain so we would know to concentrate our efforts at improve the measurement or the way to estimate those better. So the 18 sites participated. There was an issue of scale. Do we do this as a field scale or do we do this at a watershed scale? Out of the 18 sites, some send data for just one scale and send some data for both scales. So water balance is a little different. At the field scale, we have precipitation, irrigation, and sometimes some run-on. And then on the output side, we have ET, the surface flow, the subsurface flow, drainage flow, percolation through the soil profile, and change in soil moisture. At the watershed scale, it's a little different. We don't have any run-on, we have precipitation, irrigation. We still have ET. We have stream flow, which comes from surface runoff and maybe subsurface runoff, and also we have the contribution to stream flow from the groundwater. We also have what percolates through the soil profile and then goes deeper than what can be caught by the return to the stream, and it's lost from the system. It's not completely lost. It's going to come downstream, but it's lost out of that watershed. And again, the difference in soil moisture. So each site was responsible for providing the data. And they could use anything that was available to them, measured data, model estimates, or in some cases, literature values. And each site, actually not each site, but some of the sites, provided information about measurement accuracy and the data processing. And then the errors derived from those uncertainties were aggregated and propagated using quadrature formulas. So we had, across the 18 LTAR sites, we had 13 field sites. And so here I have all the 18 LTAR sites in the X, all from the west all the way to the east. It's according to longitude. And then the 13 field sites, so range from just sometime it was just really a plot, all the way to 65 hectares. And the watersheds, we also had 13. Didn't look for that, but that's how it turned out, ranging from 4 to 781 square kilometers. So there's quite a variation in size. There is a variation also in the length of the data period that were used to derive those budgets. At the field side, they range from 2 years to 35 years. And 2 years means that each LTAR site was responsible for deciding this. And maybe they chose the 2 years where they had everything measured. And some sites gave data for 10 years where some of the components were measured and some of the components were simulated with a model. And that was up to each site. And again, for the watershed, it ranged also from just a few years to all the way to 50 years. Measurement methods were not the same across all the LTAR sites. Each site had collected data for years prior to the initiation of all this LTAR network, and so the methods were not the same, and the methods are appropriate for each conditions, with a set of conditions at each site. So we don't think that it would appropriate to impose measurement methods throughout everything. But that results in even precipitation being measured with different type of technology, sometimes with shield, sometimes with not. Discharge, I'm not going to go through everything because my 10 minutes are going to be up, but let's just say there are differences throughout the site. So what we found? Well, we had a range. We, for precipitation and evapotranspiration and the field size sites, range from around 240 millimeters to something like 1100 millimeters of precipitation, and if we count the irrigation, that's 1300 millimeters. So it's quite a significant gradient. Same thing for the watershed. So if we look at the water losses, and by water losses I include everything from surface runoff, subsurface runoff, percolation, and drainage. So everything that goes through the soil or on the soil. We also have a range of amounts. The different colors kind of show directly what sites are surface runoff dominated, or percolation dominated, or drainage dominated, and we have quite a bit of variations throughout the network, which is going to be nice when we want to maybe focus some experiments on one type of hydrologic systems. And in terms of watershed, for example, that's also even within the same LTAR site. Those two, all the way on the right, we have Tuckahoe and Greensboro, and they're both in the lower Chesapeake Bay, but because of the soils, one has a lot of percolation and the other one has much less. Uncertainty of each measurement included the accuracy of the equipment, the treatment of missing data. If it was model estimates, then that was the uncertainty of that estimate, plus the interannual variability. All those are average annual estimates, and so there is, depending on the interannual variability, there is some uncertainty there about the average annual value. Here's for the Central Mississippi River Basin, which is in Missouri. We have five main component, and the bar represents the uncertainty of that component. So you see that even precipitation has some uncertainty. Evapotranspiration has quite a bit, because in this case it's model estimate, it's not measured, and so on. For Walnut Gulch Experimental Watershed in Arizona, the uncertainty are much smaller. That's because precipitation is much less, plus there is no snow, and it's much easier to make accurate measurement of precipitation. And ET, they have measured their ET with a flux arrow for a longer time rather than a model estimate, and that shows up in the reliability of that estimate. So let's look at the ET of a precipitation and irrigation input. That was quite interesting, because what we can see is that for all those sites, those are the field sites, we basically have an ET of a precipitation ratio of 0.75. And here you can see the uncertainty for CMRB, which is large enough that I doubt that we'll be able to differentiate this ratio from the ratio at all those other sites. So basically all those crop sites here, because they're all crop and pasture, those two are pastures, it's around 0.74. And given the uncertainty, we can't say much more. For the rangeland sites here, it's around 1. And then we have the agronomy farm at 0.8, which is probably pretty much equivalent to those. I have not finished all the uncertainty analysis, but when it's finished, I'm betting that it'll be very hard to see any difference. And at the watershed, we have a little bit more variability, probably because there are more land uses in the watershed, not just cropland. We have forests, we have other things that introduce more variability. Water loss coefficient is also, there was a little bit more difference here. We have those sites, those are the field size sites, around 0.3, and then basically all those more around 0.2, and uncertainty analysis will tell us if those are really different or not. And then we have the range right around zero, and the watershed. So in conclusion, I would say that we have 13 field sites, 13 watershed sites with a gradient of precipitation from west to east, and a range of hydrological systems. The ET over P ratio couldn't really be differentiated across the crop sites. And to me, that means we need more accurate measurement of ET and also of winter precipitation in order to tease out differences between sites, or ultimately, we want to be able to tease out differences in management, or maybe differences due to different climate patterns. And if we don't get something that can be more differentiated, we're not going to be able to do that. So this will be complete when we have completed the uncertainty analysis at all the sites instead of the just two that I've shown. Thanks.